Often imitated, never duplicated. The one and only B. Scott. You're listening to The B. Scott Show. Get ready, love muffins. And you know, like, I feel so strongly about having music on the show that every time I hear the intro without a song coming in, I feel some kind of way. I really do. especially right now, because I have this song. Well, not I have this song, but I have a song that I like so much. Normani's new song with Cardi B, Wild Side. I would have loved to have played a portion of that for the show. But as you know, Love Muffins, you know, I guess there are cracking down on copyright infringement on the various different platforms, and therefore we have to have a kind of dry musicless intro moment. But nonetheless, you know, we are here back for another episode of the podcast, The B. Scott Show. And I have all of, for the most part, all of my usual suspects. I have Denver, my right-hand man.
Hey.
I have my long-lost my long-lost girl, Dominique, is in the house tonight.
Hey, y'all. I'm back.
And then we also have my trusted producer, Brian Vasquez.
Hello, everybody.
Yes, yes, yes. So, Dominique, what's been going on? I know that you have been laying it low and busting it wide. So just get us caught up on what you've been doing
for
these last couple of weeks.
Well, first of all, you know, listen, I tuned into the BET Awards. I saw what you did there. You came out swinging.
Thank you.
You looked amazing. Like you was preparing. Okay. You understood the assignment and you definitely said, okay. All right.
Yes. I was preparing for war.
you were, and you didn't skip a beat. I was really tuned in. You pulled focus like a motherfucker. And I was very proud to say he did that. You know what I mean? It's been a long time coming and you definitely gave what needed to be given. Anyway.
Thank you.
You're welcome. With that being said, I've been working my ass off. I feel like, I've been working like a damn slave just because I've been understaffed. I live in a college town where it's a lot of corporate and a lot of university action and energy going on. So it's very interchangeable. So as we get ready to go into the new like season of the new class or whatever, I'm just in this restructuring of not really my business, but with the people, you know what I mean? And we only deal with quality people over here. So I've been really meticulous in choosing the people that I want to be on my team. And I'm losing a manager. I don't know if it'd be like you losing Brian in Denver. Like, I don't know what kind of shape you would be in, but you would be saying all the prayers every night. So I'm also compulsive. So I've been really manning the ship. I've been just trying to do everything I can to be ready to roll for August. You know what I mean? And for the most part, it's worked. And I managed to add two more jobs to my resume. Like I need another damn job. But, you know, it came and I'm accepting it. So with that being said, did I fill you guys in on the fact that I went to Mexico for a second time?
No, you didn't.
Okay, I didn't see Fallon Gubadia this time. But but this time I went and I went for some R&R. I went to throw my damn phone away. And it was my turn to, you know, deliver the proposal, you know, to my significant other. So that happened. I didn't get not one day of sunshine. It decided to rain every single day. So it gave me an excuse to just be unapologetic about my sleep and just checking the F out. And then I came back in the full swing of things like this. So I'm just looking to find the carnival. It might be Miami where I can go and shake my ass unapologetically again and get the F out of here. So
definitely
that's been my life. Miami
that's been you
be the turn up spot. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely miss Miami and I'm doing what I need to do to make sure that I can go back in the near future. But I'm happy to have you back on the show.
People were asking,
like, what's going on with Dominique?
It's good to be missed.
Yeah.
Oh, shout out to all
they
y'all.
Miss your crazy ass and your crazy story.
I'm back.
Yeah. And Deborah, what have you been up to? What's been going on in your neck of the woods?
You know, it's funny because I feel like with life, everything will be kind of still for a minute and then every single thing will happen all at once.
Yep.
So that's kind of happening right now. I'm packing for a move, switching apartments, which is going to be super fun. I'm trying to get everything ready, going to Greece in what, 3 weeks,
okay.
3.5 weeks, 4 weeks, something like that. So, you know, just moving a bunch of pieces around, basically.
And where are you going in Greece? What's the agenda there?
So we're going to Mykonos. It's for Jonte's 30th birthday. And we were going to the Excelsior Festival, which is like a big old, I guess, European circuit party with 30,000 gays from all over the world descending on Mykonos for parties and beaches and everything. But good old COVID, good old COVID is ruining the fun. The actual festival events are canceled. But Greece is still open, and you know, everybody in the comments of the festival says they're still going. So we're just gonna go and see what happens.
It's gonna be great.
Yeah, it's gonna be
if we can. Hell, we'll see.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see how things play out, because it definitely seems like COVID is not done with us. So
you know, I'm trying to be optimistic. I'm trying to hold out and keep the positivity going. So let's just hope.
I was supposed to be going to Tokyo, y'all. Like, I was supposed to be there with a whole bunch of brands doing marketing work, and the Japanese government definitely came in last week and was just like, "Psych, just joking. Y'all ain't going nowhere. So cancel your tickets and get your money back." And that really kicked the cool out of my step. So I was getting ready to go in the next couple of days and really have a great time, and that's not happening. So I'm disappointed about that.
I mean, what I'm hoping is that, I mean, I don't leave until the 16th.
Okay.
But I'm hoping that because things are happening right now, we'll be on the other side of, like, maybe we'll reopen some things, you know, in a month.
Are you back? We'll see. Denver?
I am. I am back? Completely. Okay. Have been. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Did that early.
Okay.
Was not playing around. No effects, no anything.
Me just either.
Everybody else who's not vaxxed is ruining all the fun.
Yeah, I got waxed and vaxxed real early, because I'm like, nothing, I can't afford to not be a part of all these things. Y'all are not going to stop me. So.
Wait, Brian, did you have side effects, Brian?
Oh my God, did I? Yeah. Bad. Oh. I was like in convulsions.
One did you get?
Oh, Jesus.
Pfizer.
Really?
And my wife had it bad too. She was in bad shape for a couple days, maybe longer. And we were just, it fucked us up pretty good for a little, but you know, we bounced back from it, but. Damn.
Interesting. Okay. I heard bad things about the Johnson & Johnson, and they had to pull it off the shelves because it was really fucking people up, like bad. It was just too often. But Pfizer was supposed to be the good one. I was waiting for it, but nothing happened. I was sitting in my house holding on to the walls, but it turned out to be okay.
Not holding on to the walls.
I was bracing myself because I heard all the stories, and I didn't have like, I'm like, all right, I'm going to take this day off. I don't know what to expect, but I didn't have anything. So,
yeah, I took a long nap after the second dose, and that was pretty much it. I was like, "Ooh, I'm tired."
Okay.
And then that was it.
Interesting. So. Yeah. So I hope you can go and have a great time in Greece and tell me all the stories and things. I have a close friend that just got a big gig in Europe, and she wants me to come out there for a while. And I'm really hesitant about it just because I just don't want to be caught in these COVID streets. So we'll see. I mean, she's going to be in Prague and Croatia and Italy and Morocco. It sounds so enchanting. And under any other circumstances, I would without a doubt go, you know, like all expenses paid, you know, just traveling the world. I can see myself on a yacht, all yada, yada, yada. But... you know, I just feel like, I don't know. I just feel like with the COVID thing, I think there's something that they're not telling us. I really do believe that there's something they're not telling us, and because they don't want people to panic. They don't want people to start protesting and all the other things that were happening before. But I do believe, you know, that there is more to it than meets the eye. And that's the reason why they are applying for the emergency use of the third dose for a COVID third dose of the vaccine. So I don't know. It's just, we try to keep it, you know, we want to stay positive, but I definitely feel like, I think something is coming. I don't know exactly what. But then also like just random shit. Like we're sitting here fighting the virus, but then today or yesterday, I saw a post about how in parts of the Amazon now, it is emitting more carbon than it is absorbing.
Which is insane.
Like, the earth is dying. Like
we have Germany flooding, I saw.
Germany, that shit was crazy too. It was like a damn washing machine outside. You looked out the window and it literally looked like a washing machine. That the water was swirling and turning and crashing into the buildings and things. I don't know. It's like, it's the weirdest thing. Like, I grew up in, you know, between my grandmother and my mother, it was always the damn last days. We live in the last days. Like, okay. I'm like, damn, can I at least make it till I become a teenager before this is a wrap? But it just started to feel like this is the last days. It really does. It's starting to feel like, why in the hell am I fighting so hard for certain things and certain goals when I should just be having a free, like a fun freaking time, because I don't know how much longer any of us have. You know what I mean? Because shit's just falling apart. And I'll tell you this too. Another thing, let me tell you something. The sun is not the sun that it used to be. That sun will burn your ass up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the heat is different. Definitely.
It never got to me like that in LA, like this. You know what I mean? Like the other day I was just sitting out and it was kind of like even kind of cloudy. And I just thought, you know, yeah, I'll be okay. And when I tell you my face got burnt, I was like, oh, no. So that just means that, like, you know, the things I used to get away with, I can't get away with anymore because I feel like there's just more UV light coming through.
100%.
What was that meme I saw? It was like, this can't be the same heat Whitney Houston wanted to feel with somebody. I was like, you know what? I think you're right.
And we didn't talk about it briefly, but I want to go back to it. The reason why I love the Nemani song so much is because, number one, I love her and I want her to win. Number two, probably is like number one, is because of the Aaliyah sample. Mm-hmm. And what I hear, like, I can't, like, I miss Aaliyah so much that I will gladly take this little bit of appeasement. And it's so good. It's like, and the dancing and everything, even how she was moving and things, really, really, you know, was a paying homage to Aaliyah. And even the choreography, you know, because Aaliyah, I think in one of her videos, she was doing, I think, the kappa shake.
Mm-hmm.
And then in this video, Nomani was doing like the Q dog thing, like when they go, oh.
when they go what?
But she's just so effortless in her dancing, and that's what really reminds me of Aaliyah. Aaliyah had this, like, she was very effortless, you know, when it came to her dancing. It came very like fluid, and like she wasn't pressed about it. She kind of rolled through the eight counts. Whereas other people, you know, they have the very bop, 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 bop. You can tell 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you know.
Yeah, she's fluid.
And so that's what I loved about her. And I just wonder what would have happened. It's hard to think about that, but like, where would she be today if she was still alive?
Well, do y'all remember that clip of Beyonce interviewing her on the MTV red carpet back in the day?
Mm-hmm.
And every time I see that, and I'm just like, wow. To just see Beyonce in that like space doing that job, and it really reminds you that, yo, Aaliyah was that girl at that time, you know, and there was no
question
about it. So it would be a really great thing to see how Beyonce would fare in a Aaliyah world, and if she had the opportunity to live longer. So that's a great
And she had just started to cross over into movies.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, and it's just crazy. And it's kind of, you know, you did bring up Beyonce, and it's interesting because of the fact that, like, you know, Aaliyah also used to date Jay-Z.
Thank you. Nope.
So it's like, a lot going on there. But I think they both could coexist because they are different. They're different in a lot of ways. I just think that Aaliyah, I think she was doing a lot of like trying to cross over into movies, and a lot of celebrities have tried that. And it really didn't stick for them.
Didn't translate. I agree.
Exactly. And so, I don't know. But it's also, yet again, another reminder to live your life, because you just never know when your last day would be. And, you know, God rest his soul, my friend Eric was her makeup artist at the time. And he has now passed away, I think last year or earlier this year, he passed away. And, you know, he, for a long time, felt guilty because he had another booking or he couldn't make it to where they were shooting. I think they were shooting where, in the Bahamas?
I think so. Bahamas, Bermuda, one of those.
Yeah. And he couldn't make it. He had like that survivor's guilt, you know, because all of his friends and the rest of the glam squad was, you know, died on the plane with her.
Mm-hmm.
And because he didn't go, because he had something else he couldn't miss, he survived. And that haunted him for a long time. And I just remember when I first worked with him, and it was also when I first started in the business, I was just so excited and honored that I got a chance for him to do my makeup because he had done Aaliyah. And it's very few people that I look to in terms of beauty in this world, really, particularly. And in regards to me, because, like, you know, like I have a certain, you know, look about me, and certain people I feel execute that flawlessly, you know, like Halle Berry and Aaliyah and all that. I mean, they're totally way on a higher level than me, but, you know, just like, I just remember being like, oh my God, that is just, you know, amazing that you can do my makeup. And now just thinking about it and talking about it, I was like, wow, just like, I realized he's gone too. And she's gone. I was like, oh, okay.
It's like, right. Redirect.
I got to start busting it up, man. I got to start having fun. But also thinking of redirecting, and we are going to redirect right here, because I mean, You Love Muffins in the last episode heard me go in really hard on Miss Wendy Williams. And it was in regard to some comments that she had made in a very, very awkward segment that she had done where she was discussing I think it was an 18-year-old TikToker, Black TikToker, that had passed away. And I was saying all type of things about Miss Wendy Williams. And I still stand by what I said. And then Denver brought up a good point. You know, sometimes, you know, what happens is, you know, Wendy goes from saying something about somebody, and then the next minute she goes to, you know, complimenting them and thing this, that, and the other. And I just didn't expect that after I had went in on her so much, you know, because, you know, she probably, and she, I know she doesn't listen to the podcast. I don't know that, but.
Her mom do.
Say what?
Her little crew does.
Yeah. And so I can believe that, you know, because my children, I love muffins that have been following me throughout the years, have now gone on to be in many different positions and things in the entertainment industry and beyond. And but yeah, I went in on her, and then I did not expect for her to then shout me out this week.
Of all weeks.
And I think we have a clip.
Of all the opportunities.
So the Real Housewives of Atlanta producers are having a hard time casting for the next season. According to our friends at Love B. Scott, they're saying that the producers want 7 women, and Candy and Kenya are coming back. But not enough.
Yes. Yeah, and she goes on to basically go through our entire story and just, you know, continually referencing it and things of that nature. And I will say, you know, thank you, Wendy. I am, you know, I don't know to what extent she is aware. Denver believes that she is aware, and that she just decided to move past it, or she didn't have anything else to talk about that day, and there was no way around us.
That is my running theory.
Yeah.
I think sometimes Wendy is in, and I think sometimes she's absolutely clueless and she's reading off of a monitor, and things don't translate well because she don't know what the fuck going on, Terry. Don't. And if you're clueless and you're not plugged into certain things in the culture or what's actually happening, it's going to come off really crazy, and it's going to come off insensitive. And that's really what I got from the whole TikTok story, because I watched it over and over again, and I thought I was like missing a piece of it, and it was really the complete thing. So I'm just like, I just don't think she was plugged in.
Present.
Yeah, she was not present. Eyes, lights are on, nobody's home type of deal.
Exactly. And so, you know, I don't know. It's just interesting. And someone had left a comment, and sometimes Love Muffins, they leave comments to get my attention just because they want to get my attention. They want to be acknowledged. And so they say something that they think that's going to anger me or piss me off. And it doesn't. I mean, I do read comments from time to time. And the comment was like, yeah, B. Scott, you know, Wendy Williams, everything you want to be. And I would say no. I would say no, but I do respect her. I do respect her career, what she has done. I truly believe that she is iconic, and especially her radio days. The TV show didn't, it does not, and still It did not and does not do anything for me. But the radio show in particular, there's no way around that radio show not being iconic. It was just that so many moments that people remember. And I actually think that her vibe and her delivery, it fits radio, because those awkward pauses and things that you may see or get signs of visually from doing the show, you don't see that on radio. Mm-mm. So right. I feel like her delivery works better with that. And so, no, I don't think so. I think we all have our own paths. You know, her path started out in radio and those things. And my path started out with being one of the first to help usher in this digital media age. And I think that, you know, when it's all said and done, we all, and especially me and her, would have our own journeys. But that is not to say that in some ways, Wendy Williams, she has paved the way for me. You know, by being a person of color on television, having a television show, having a radio show, discussing celebrity news and entertainment. You know, I can't pretend like that doesn't have some type of effect on the business that I do. But at the same time, I feel like, you know, it's generational. You know, Wendy Williams is a different generation than me. And, you know, it's just a part of it. And somebody else is going to come up and have their moment. And yes, I probably would have helped pave the way for them. But at the same time, they have their own gifts and things of that nature. So, yeah, I want people to feel like that's not, even if it was true, that wouldn't be a diss to me. But it's not exactly what I want. You know, like I actually do say that I want, you know, if I am going to do television, and I am, and my television show is coming this fall. Yes. My show is going to be, you know, talk show-ish, a good time. I'm not going to be sitting there rallying through the topics. I just not like, I definitely, and if I do at some point discuss topics, it will be in the context of a bigger theme or connected to something that, you know, it relates to something else other than just a topic. And, as my show will evolve, and things of that nature, if I do to start to talk about topics, it probably would be more in a kind of like a view type of discussion where people will weigh in and talk about it and have those type of moments. So yeah, I say, I think that, you know, everyone should have the freedom to be who they are, and we all have our influences. And yeah, I think that's hilarious that Love Muffins at times say little comments that get to me. I mean, either way, it's like, it's not true, but it's not a negative, put it that way.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
So yeah, Wendy, I thank you for that. Hopefully we can get back on track of her, because in the past she was regularly, like every other week or every other day, she mm-hmm. was quoting our exclusives. And it's just because, you know, the thing is, like, it's crazy to think about it. Like, all these other Black media sites, they never get any fucking exclusives.
Why?
Ever, really.
Why?
Because they don't have the depth.
The credibility.
They don't have the relationships. They don't have the years of building connections and networks and things of that nature. I actually don't know what Bravo felt about the last exclusive that we just ran. I don't necessarily think I know they didn't like that we said their shit was in shambles.
Correct. Shambles was definitely a trigger. Shambles was a trigger.
Was it a bait? I don't think it was a bait, but it's the fucking truth, and we can all see it before y'all said it. Like, mm-hmm. who are we fooling here? Come on. Are we?
Yeah. I think in general, I think linear television is in shambles. You know, people are not going to linear television. I lie to you not. Like, the and where I'm at right now, I can look at my TV, and my TV has not been on
my TV
in such a long time. The TV
dust,
because I'm consuming content on my iPad, mm-hmm. on my phone. I'm in my bed. You know, I have the TV on the wall, but I'm not really into it. Like, I mean, I don't know. It's the weirdest thing has happened. Like, I actually get, this is really funny and crazy, but I actually get more laughs and enjoyment out of TikTok
yep.
than I do from watching linear television. And thus why my Instagram, and thank you, Love Muffins, for following me. I think we're up to like 863,000 on Instagram. But that's why my Instagram reflects all these funny ass, random ass TikTok videos, because that's literally what I'd be doing.
He's in there scrolling and laughing.
Scrolling, I mean, when I tell you, I'll be cackling all in here by myself. Like, that tickles me.
I see why they tried to ban TikTok, though. It's so informational and life-changing. Like, the hacks on there, I've applied so many of the travel hacks, and it's really changed my life. The way, you know, even business hacks. I see why China didn't want it, like, just spreading through their you know what I mean, their country. It would make their people smart.
It makes people smart, and they are constantly, like, tweaking it.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it so hard for Instagram and Facebook to catch up, is because TikTok is just where you want. It's like, it's just something about the technology that, like, you know, Instagram, Facebook can't quite knock it off. And it's a community on TikTok that doesn't quite exist on Instagram.
Yeah.
And, you know, even if you take, like I do, I take it and bring it to my audience, but I don't have an audience right now on TikTok. I think I am going to start doing stuff. I think on TikTok. but you know what I mean? It's just like, it's something special about TikTok, and you can't deny it.
So I read
it's really intimidating for people that aren't already on it, because I'm like, I would love to do some of these reels. Even, you know, that your partner does, Denver, like, your partner does really, a really good job of being consistent with those damn tutorials and reels. And I get lured in every time. I'm like, man, this man every is talented. Time. But, you know, I'm like, I want to be able to do stuff like that. But I'm like, damn, how long?
I know, me too.
What you say?
I said, me too. Yeah, I can't do it myself. I can do his all day long. I just cannot do them myself for whatever reason.
It's an art. But yeah,
it's definitely an art. And I just feel like, you know, that's the climate as to which we live. Like, I literally have something that I have to watch right now because it's a business, and it's related to some business that I got to do. And when I tell you I haven't watched any of it, I'm literally on Zoom calls. They ask me, so B, have you watched it? I'm like, no. But I am going to watch it. I'm going to sit down and watch it. But I just think that, you know, I think the climate has changed as to which we consume television, and shows like Housewives of Atlanta or the Housewives franchise in general, you know, have gone down just because people are not. In the past, we only had a certain places to go to be able to watch television or get some type, that type of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Now we can go anywhere we want at any given time and consume it in so many different places. And honestly, linear television are not producing the top shows anymore. It is Netflix and Amazon and, you know,
HBO Max,
Hulu, and all the other ones. Like, it's really changed the game. And the Disney Plus, I do be watching that because I love me some National Geographic. Mm-hmm. So I'll be up there just watching them stuff, watching the whales and things. So I just think that's what's happening. And, you know, I think Bravo is going to be put in a position, just like many other networks are. It's like, you know, of course, their executives are not trying to take a pay cut. So that means that they have to pay the talent less. That's just how it is. And that is factoring into the decisions that they're making across the board. And the ratings are going down just because, I mean, for a number of reasons, because also the concept of the Housewives of Atlanta has been done. Like, it's just, they're going to have to figure out another way to juice it up. And also just having the same type of drama season after season with the same people. That's why I feel that the Housewives of Atlanta they're looking to do a big revamp. If they had their way, they would replace at least 5 women. But it's hard, evidently, to find those women to replace. And then I also saw that Ebony from The Housewives of New York was saying, don't blame her for the ratings decline. And I would say yes and no.
Right. Yes and no.
Yes and no. I do believe that the show was already going down, but I also believe that people don't want to watch a fucking show where everything becomes just this big race discussion.
Yeah.
These women, you're going to try to tell us what we already know about these women? These are white privileged women in New York. So you're going to, okay, oh, you surprised me here now. Oh my God.
she might be a little racist.
Okay. That's, I mean, it's, I'm not saying that they have a right to be racist, but it's not shocking to me. That's not what I'm trying to watch the Housewives of New York to get. I'm not trying to watch the Housewives of New York to get a race discussion. I'm trying to watch the Housewives of New York to get drama and fights and shade and all the things, you know, insight into that. And so I also want to be clear about how the Housewives came about in general. The Housewives is very, very simple to see. It was Orange County Housewives that married these rich husbands, and the husbands went off to make their money however they made the money, and these wives were left at home with the kids, and they were bored and had nothing to do, and so they were having all these affairs and fights and this, that, and other, and going to the country clubs, and that's how Desperate Housewives got started. Mm-hmm. So Desperate Housewives got started first. Then I guess someone along the way said, let's do a show about the Orange County Housewives. Like, let's do a real reality show about them. And the Orange County started it off. And then I do believe it went to New York, and then it came to Atlanta. And then it kind of branched out from there. So, but the fascination really did come from these rich women who have, you know, these means and assets, and people want to watch them to see the type of life that they live and the type of luxuries that they enjoy and how trivial their arguments and things can be. And so, but that's the foundation of it. And so sometimes when you deviate too far from the foundation, it doesn't work the same. You just need to go ahead and do a different type of show.
Right.
That's how I feel, right? What do you think, Deborah?
I think so. I mean, the thing that the thing that gets me about like Ebony's position on the show is I feel like it would be one thing if she were addressing like racist things or racist incidents or things that were topical. But from what it seems like, and I don't watch the show, I just see the clips online, but every clip that I see, she is applying, I guess, like a racial motive behind their behavior, like in every instance. Like all roads lead back to racism. And it's true. I mean, it does to a certain extent, but I feel like she's peeling back every single thing that anybody does. And it's like, well, it's because you're racist.
Yeah. And, to be honest,
it's overwhelming.
On both shows, whether it's in New York or whether it's Garcelle on Housewives of Beverly Hills, it's just awkward to watch. It's just
But even with Garcelle's, I mean, she's having these teachable moments as they relate to like specific incidents that, mm-hmm. you know, affected her or somebody else. I feel like Ebony, Ramona, she sneezes and it's like, well, you know, you're sneezing that way because of racism. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, well, wait a minute now. Just give it a beat. I'm not saying she's wrong. I'm just saying it's a lot to watch week after week after week.
Absolutely. And I really do need for them to get back into, these women need to be married. They need to be married, and they need to be married to somebody that's a celebrity or rich. Like, we need that. I mean, that's a part of it. You know what I mean? Like, that's a part of how the housewives started, is that, you know, these wives could stay at home and their husbands had some type of fortune or whatever the case may be. And they live lives that we wanted to see and have interest in. And, you know, and I don't know. Would the concept work if there were shows? I mean, I guess there is some shows. I mean, we do have Love and Hip Hop. Where the people are just struggling. And that's what we watch.
It's not the same.
I mean,
you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a part of, you know, if we're going to talk about it, we got to talk about it. Part of the reason why we sit here on this show and talk about celebrities is because in some ways that's our royalty. In some ways that's the people we look to help us escape our, you know, our regular, you know, routine, our, you know, some may consider their life to be mundane lives or normal lives. And you look at quote unquote normal, and you look at these celebrities as a way to kind of like fantasize about what they're doing and who they can interact with and the type of sex they may be having with other rich, beautiful people. You know, that's just what it is. Like, that's just the vibe. I mean, that's the culture that we live in. And so, I mean, if I wanted to go and watch a show about a race discussion, I would go to PBS.
Okay. Or the Red Table Talk.
I would go to Red Table Talk. You know, I don't watch the Housewives to be sitting there having philosophical conversations about, you know, whistle calling and, you know, all these other things. I'm just like, this is not, like, what, you know, this is, let's go back to having fun on the show. So, but I understand why Bravo did it. And a part of the reason why Bravo did it was because of, I do believe it was directly in part to the comments that NeNe had made. And so they pushed to just diversify everything. They did, you know, they're trying to just, you know, cover all their bases. They did a race special. You know, they had Portia on the first couple of episodes of the show getting arrested a couple of times and things or whatever she was doing. So I think that was a part of just them trying to be like, hey, look, we're not a bunch of racists over here. But that doesn't mean that the white people, like, it's kind of like the stuff that was going on Vanderpump Rules and what's that, Southern Charm and all that. You know those people racist.
Absolutely.
Why the fuck do you think Southern Charm is taped? Like, you know what I mean? And it's not, I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying that, like, but if you start inserting black people into certain shows when you know, it's like, it's almost like it's a setup, in my opinion.
It definitely feels like a setup.
So I don't know. I mean, I think some of the Housewives chain need to kind of just be ended. I think Housewives of New York needs to just, you know, it's on his last hurrah. But Denver, there was a story about how Ramona was not going to show up and now she is going to show up to the reunion.
Right. So word on the curb is that they were going to fire Ramona. Right. And so Ramona got word that she was going to get fired. And then she was like, well, if I'm getting fired, then I'm not showing up to the reunion because you guys are going to try to paint me as a racist anyway. And so apparently that set everybody off. And Andy was, you know, in distress and trying to figure out what to do because I guess that would put Ramona in breach of her contract. And so after some headlines went out and people got to talking, Ramona or somebody close to Ramona went to TMZ and was like, no, no, no. She had cold feet at first, but she's going to show up and she's going to do it. Just the taping has been delayed, but it was canceled. So it's back on at some point and we'll see how it plays out.
Interesting. And you know something else I didn't, you know, this is going to be a random jump, but I saw it on the list and I wanted to go to it because the only reason it made the site was because I told Denver to put it up there. It was Soulja Boy's Ding Ding. And I saw it and I was like, that's okay, you know, it's like, you know, Captain Hook. But then I also noticed how ashy it was. So I'm just wondering, like, what is going on? It's like, you know what I mean? Like, that's like a deep ash upon the ding ding. And I wonder how would one correct that such ingrained ash upon the penis? Did you notice that too, Denver?
No. You know what? When I was running it, I was like, let me just run this, you know, because I've seen it on the timeline. I was like, okay, you know, it is what it is. And I saw it and I just... Yeah, no, I didn't. No, not soldiers. It's just no.
Yes, no. Dominique, what'd you say?
I've been kicked out. I think I'm just now getting back in, so I missed what y'all just mentioned.
Oh yeah, we were talking about Soulja Boy and his Captain Hook dingling.
Oh my God, his peen. Listen to me. I don't know which one of y'all did this story. So
I told Denver to do it. I stand by it.
Listen, and thank you for confession.
Because I know deep down inside my love muffins are perverted, and so they gonna click on some penis. And I ain't gonna lie, there's a McDonald's campaign running on the site and we need to submit. So
let me tell you what happened. You post
the penis, you get the hits.
I mean, what I will say is I think that, you know, I found myself in the studio with Soulja Boy back when I was like 16, 17 and some friends.
I bet you did.
And I feel like had I known then what I know now, things may have been different.
Wow. Okay.
But as of right now, I don't care. I may have cared then.
And I'm just going to leave that right there.
Oh, no, it wasn't like that at all. It was just a bunch of, because, you know, everybody grew up in the same area. So it was kind of like.
Because it came across like, you might have been different. You might have been.
Oh, no. I'm like, whoa. No. But I may have been more interested, I think.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we talked about TikTok, but we didn't really go into it. But this was a good setup for this one. Former Nickelodeon actress Lindsay Shaw announced a social media break after mocking Black TikTok creators. And we have a clip.
Hey, are we okay? What the fuck is this?
I see.
Okay,
I just have to say right now that the hate in my inbox is not okay. Okay? I did not mean anything in any kind of way. I am learning every day, as I think everybody is. And this kind of hate just needs to evaporate from the planet, no matter who it's directed towards. Crocodile tears? No, dude. Like, this is like my soul out there. If you know anything about what I stand for or what I believe in, you know that it's not this. I am sorry you were offended. I think we all need to vibrate higher for the future. And I know I'm gonna keep learning. I think, like, for my own mental health, I needed to take a step back from social media. I kind of felt like that anyway, but it's like,
that's it.
Well, I mean, that definitely did sound like crocodile tears.
Absolutely.
She definitely knew what she was saying when she said it, and she shouldn't have said it. But I'm just so frustrated with these people. It's just like, you know, do you have to mock Black TikTok creators on top of the fact that, you know, white TikTok creators steal everything Black people do?
Everything. It's
on TikTok? The audacity.
It's the dry tears for me.
My thing is, you know, people say things for a reaction and then don't get the reaction they want and then want to cry about it. That's what blows me. And that's exactly what you wanted.
Absolutely. And then she got it and then she's in there crying.
People get on my nerves.
The last nerves. So it's like, you know, so many things have been going on in the world. And I do agree with 50 Cent. He just said today, he said that, you know, he's shut down the idea of doing verses. We back outside. And certain things kind of worked because of COVID and we were under quarantine. And I believe that verses is one of those things.
Oh, absolutely. Verses and Clubhouse.
Absolutely. Clubhouse has went through the shit. It's went straight to the shitter. And nobody's talking about it.
Mm-mm.
And to me, Clubhouse was just a bunch of scammers, in my opinion.
Okay. Everybody talking about how to make $1 million and don't have $1 million.
Don't have a million. Or people who come out of nowhere and they have all these followers and you don't have them on Twitter, on Instagram, on YouTube, on TikTok, on nothing. So out of nowhere, I'm going to come to this new app and see that certain people already have, you know, 1 million or over 1 million people listening to them, but based on nothing.
Nothing.
I literally was in a room with someone and that person got so upset with me because he was talking about how, and I didn't know this, life coaches, you don't need to have any type of certificate to be a life coach.
Nope. You can just say,
say you're a fucking life coach.
Yeah.
And so this person was on TikTok talking all this life coach stuff and this, that, and other and giving people advice. And then, you know what I mean? Me being me, there's only but so much bullshit I can take. And so I was like, but what is your expertise? Can you please give me some insight into your educational background that allows you to provide this type of information so readily to these people on this TikTok tonight? I mean, on this Clubhouse tonight? And he didn't respond. He got quiet as like a church mouse. And somebody else said, well, B, you know that you don't have to have any type of certificate or license or degree to be a life coach. And I was like, I did not know that. But now that I do, I think this other person should remain quiet.
Mm.
And there's a lot of that on Clubhouse. And and a lot of people up there just talking about, you know, I took my money and I'm from the streets and I flipped that and I flipped it again. And, you know, I mean, like, I was like, oh my God. And I'm, you know, because I'm so successful, I'm going to be giving away to one person tonight in this room. I'm going to give away my 10 sessions of how to become a millionaire for free. But I need everybody else to sign up for it. And it, you guys won't get it for free, but one person will. And I was like, I don't like those odds. It sounds like an email grab to me. But Clubhouse in general, Clubhouse in general was very Gary V to me. Gary V is selling people these dreams, these hopes and dreams, and telling people what they already know and being rude about it. And knowing that the most people that are listening to him would never, ever be able to achieve any other things that he has said. And that's really what it is. He's telling what you already know. You got to be consistent about what you do. You got to go after it. You got to risk it all to get to the top.
Well,
most
hold
of you
on
won't do shit. Most of you hold won't do
now.
Nothing. Most of you going to be on this couch for the rest of your life.
Would you say it there's some similarities between him and a preacher in church?
Yes.
We know all this, but we keep coming back every Sunday.
Absolutely, because people are dumb. But I just won't dumb enough for TikTok. I mean, shit, I keep saying TikTok. I won't dumb enough for Clubhouse. I am dumb enough for TikTok.
Oh, they got you.
They got me so good, I can't say no other word. I'm like, TikTok, 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 TikTok. But yeah, Clubhouse just went down. It's like, it went away like Twitter fleets are going away.
It was cool at first, though, and then they started opening up to everybody. And that's when I was like, I'm good. You know, and then I realized I'm losing like 3 solid hours out of my whole day, like jumping in and out these fucking rooms. I'm like, oh, hell no.
And I also think that Clubhouse needed to be more concerned and have more control about who went over there and became like the unofficial ambassadors of Clubhouse. And that was one of the major things that turned me off. A lot of the people that I saw in these rooms with other major celebrities and stuff were definitely not the type of people that I had already decided I did not want to interact with in real and other social media platforms and areas. So why on earth would I go to a new area at Clubhouse and have to interact with the greatest hits of people that I don't want to interact with?
Not even just interact. You have to listen to. That's the worst part. You got to listen to them.
Right. And just sit around and like in one of the rooms I was in and just then all of them in there talking about nothing. It sounds like they're everybody just sitting on the phone and doing other things. They're doing laundry. They're eating food. They drinking.
Hey, y'all remember chat rooms back in the day? Y'all remember chat rooms?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We used to have a little Love Muffin chat.
Yeah. I remember all of it. Yeah.
That's the vibe it was giving me. And I was just like, you know, people think that they're so like woke being in here. And I was just like, I want my fucking time back. This is not it.
And if I hear one more time in fucking Clubhouse, you know, I'm just so grateful to be able to hold space. I'm like, oh.
I said, I can't do hold space. I can't do add value. I can't do. There's a couple of those like keywords, buzzwords that I cannot do it.
You know, the funny thing too, I would come in the rooms and people would be like, oh, we got B. Scott in the room. You know, let's bring B. Scott to the stage. And then B. Scott would leave the room.
Yeah, that's the way to take somebody out right away. God.
I'd be like,
that's my cue.
That's my cue. You know, if B. Scott wanted to say something, trust and believe B. Scott would have, but I don't. And, but everybody was talking. But I think, you know, Clubhouse was a quarantine type of thing. And also, so was the DJ. The DJ.
Oh,
DJ Nice. I mean, that was
a awards, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's gone on to do like the main.
Isn't he a presenter at the BET Awards?
Yes, but I think his biggest and greatest moment was that moment of quarantine.
Yeah.
It's just I don't need a DJ in my life all the time, unfortunately.
And not him. Like of all the DJs, we going to him.
I don't mean to roast him. I'm just saying, like, I think that certain
No shade.
Versus,
I mean, for real.
You know, DJ Nice, the Clubhouse, a lot of things just, you know, are left in the quarantine. So that I oftentimes don't agree with 50 Cent on things, but I do agree with him about this. And what is going on with 50 Cent, though? Because I keep looking at this damn photo of him that's on the website right now on lovebscott.com, and I just don't know what it is. It's like there is something big protruding from his forehead. Have y'all noticed? It's like a lump. It's a lump underneath that damn hat that he's wearing. And everything just looks real tight. He looks real. He looks like he's
like
just
sausage, like he's encased.
He looks like he turned. He know he looks like he's turning into them. You know them dogs that
not the dogs.
The dogs, you know, the really like it's like pit bulls, but they're even bigger than pit bulls.
the bulldog, the mastiffs.
Yes, great, he looks like name. A mastiff now. Oh. He looks very much so like that. I'm looking at him right now, and he's staring at me, and I'm staring at him on the side. We're staring at each other, and eek. I did notice that it was interesting. I don't know if this happens a lot or if it or is just this one year, but does Sports Illustrated usually have several people on the cover?
I think they've done it in the past, like one or two. Like they've done like a special one and then like a regular one. But well, I don't think I've seen a rollout like this. Yeah.
Yeah, this year we have three. We have Megan Thee Stallion, which is, she becomes the first rapper, a female rapper to ever be on the cover. We have Lena, am I saying that right?
Lena Bloom.
Lena Bloom, okay. Lena Bloom, she is the first trans woman to cover, and she's gorgeous. And we also have Asaka, Naomi. Right?
Naomi.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Naomi Asaka. And she, we have three. So basically we have just three beautiful women of color all upon the magazine. It kind of feels, it's kind of giving me like, remember that year that Oscars gave everybody Black an award? Mm-hmm.
We get it.
Okay. The whole, everybody just got, let's get the Black people out the way. Let's give them the awards this year. And so we can go back to our normal. That's kind of how it feels.
And, I would agree.
And I feel like it kind of robs each person of their moment.
100%. It's like almost like by doing that, you don't have to give anybody a moment.
Correct.
It kind of dilutes everybody's moment for sure.
It's sharing the moment. And so I don't know what the reasoning is by that. Maybe it's just, you know, they gave people various things within the same type of color, just so, like you said, Denver, it wouldn't be just, you know, maybe they didn't want to give the trans woman her moment of being on the cover by herself.
Well, if we just blend her in with everybody, maybe nobody will notice.
Right. That could be too.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I mean, I would venture that their audience may not be receptive to a trans woman. So maybe that may be the reason why they did it this way. But it did happen, and she made history. And so congratulations to everyone. And also Naomi, like she looks so refreshing. She, like it was very refreshing to see her on the cover. She looked very unbothered and she was covered. And, you know, it's just different from what you're used to seeing from Sports Illustrated.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I understand that she's still under her break. She's still having a break. And I get it. Like sometimes you got to do what you got to do for your mental health. And if that means taking some time away from, you know, taking time away from things that are bringing you anxiety, then by all means doing that. And then I noticed this morning when I woke up, Denver, you must have been up early this morning, but kudos to you for being up. We were one of the first people to get out the information, the news that Keisha Cole's mother, Frankie, had passed away at 61. Mm-hmm. And I think initially when it first came out, people did not quite know what she passed away, what caused her death. But, you know, it was in the back of everyone's mind. And that's the sad part about addiction and things is that people, once they know you have an addiction and something happens to you or whatever the case may be, that's kind of there. But then the information came out not so long after the initial announcement that it was an overdose. And she had apparently been celebrating her 61st birthday and got a little too carried away.
Mm-hmm. She's just trying to turn up. Damn, Frankie. The organs just said no more, ma'am.
The organs are tired.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. She went hard. She had a hard 61 years, man. Oof.
And probably, you know, her children did too because of that by proxy. Mm-hmm. And I can only imagine what Keisha Cole is going through and how conflicted she is. You know, she probably had a very conflicted relationship with her. And now she's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day with your parents, like, you know, they're not perfect. And, but once they're gone, like, I mean, it's crazy thing. Like even with me, like my father, for example, like I never thought that, I would miss him as much as I do now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and my father was just, My father was a lot of things. He was a lot of things.
How old were you when he passed?
It happened about four or five years ago.
Okay, so you got to be a real adult, and you got to have him.
Absolutely. For a lot of people. Absolutely. Yeah. I was definitely a grown ass person by the time he passed away. And but I think that's just like it represents how, even no matter how your parent can be, or their faults or their shortcomings, if something happens to them, you're going to miss them, and you still love them, and you always will love them on some level. And unfortunately, you don't realize how much you miss someone in a lot of cases, especially parents that are very, how can you put it, disruptive to your life. Like my father could be, and like Frank, you know, Keisha Cole's mother, Frankie, could be. You don't realize that you would miss them. And they'd be like, damn. So on top of you doing all these things, now I'm actually mourning and hurt that you're not here. My heart goes out to her and to her rest of her family that is dealing with that. That cannot be easy.
No.
I'm sure that wasn't the news that she wanted to wake up to.
Especially on her birthday.
Wow.
Do you find that you've learned a lot about your father in death? Because I certainly learned a lot about mine since he's passed. My dad passed in 2010. Have you found out more about yourself and about him since he's passed?
Yes and no. Okay. I think that for me, I've learned, it's not necessarily specific information. What I've mm-hmm. learned is that as I've gotten older, I have mm-hmm. developed more compassion for my parents.
There you go. Bingo.
I have developed a lot more compassion because I oftentimes have disappointed myself and have fallen short of who I know I can be. And in certain situations, definitely have not risen to the occasion. And I think that right now, for example, like this is at the age that I'm at right now is when my parents had me. And I'm still every day. It's like, that's, you guys in the beginning of the show were talking about, what you guys are going through and things. And, where I'm at right now is basically just like, I'm just still kind of, figuring a lot of things out about life and what it means and why I'm doing what I'm doing. And, do I want to keep doing certain things, or do I not want to keep doing certain things, or do I want to do a little bit this or whatever? But also working through, doing the emotional work and the spiritual work and all those things. And I can only imagine if I had a young one, a little one here right now watching me, because, right now, even with, all, these years of being on this earth, I'm still a work in progress completely. And for my parents, I used to be so judgmental about, why don't you just do this? And why can't you do this? You know what I mean? Like, just like basically saying, snap out of, like, be a better person.
Right.
But it doesn't work that way. And the only way for me to understand it was to understand that it doesn't work that way for me either. And so I challenged myself to be the best that I can be, and to, catch my shortcomings, have a quicker turnaround about things. Kind of like, I think on the last episode that you had missed, living the life and having fun. I was talking about how, sometimes, like a situation happened, and it happened like maybe 2 years ago on the podcast. I shared about a situation, basically the same type of situation. And I react to this situation this time totally different. And I was proud of myself because it didn't take me falling out with a friend, having a nasty exchange, doing all this petty shit to get to a point of, let me just give this person the benefit of the doubt and, say God bless. And that to me is growth. And that to me is what, if I had a child, the pressure that would be put on me is that, I would feel even more pressure to try to grow and be the best that I could be. And I don't know if that's a good thing either. You know, like I think that people just kind of naturally should be allowed to make their marks as they can. And that's something that not only I view my parents differently, I recently over the last, I would say last couple of years, but very specifically last year, I have stopped having all these expectations of people. Completely. Just like, I mean, it's hard, you know, like, or I'll briefly have an expectation of somebody and then I, you know, it, I now just kick into, I shouldn't do that. That's my fault. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just completely removing expectations off of people. Just because for my own mental health, that's the only way. And stop taking shit so fucking personal. Like, I used to take so much stuff personal. And then I realized oftentimes when people took shit personal that I had done, it most of the time had nothing to do with them.
Right.
You know, and so it's just an evolution. So I think that when it comes to your parents, it's a very difficult thing. And I would say that. I even think my family members would be shocked to know that I actually miss my father. Mm. You know, I think they would be like, what?
You?
Really? And it's crazy. I mean, me and my father had the craziest relationship, you know, but I was his baby. My father, and this is the crazy thing, and I don't think I've ever shared this, but I'm going to share it just because I don't know, we're talking about it. My father would say anything that came to mind, and he would call anybody anything at any given time, and especially when he was drinking. And now looking back on it, I knew that my father loved me because he never called me anything derogatory about me being gay.
Mm.
Even at his drunkest, even at his, you know, whatever, even when he was mad at me, ever, he never, ever said that. But I listened to him call everybody else everything in under the sun. But for me, he never did that. And for him, I think that was his version of love.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, he sounded like he old school too. Was he in his 70s or 80s when he passed?
He was in his 70s.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so, you know, it's just, I when I saw the Frankie story, I was sad because I was like, I want Keisha Cole to have some wins. And I also believe how Keisha Cole acted on the verses and all of that is a product of her demeanor and her essence is a product of the situation with her mother and what she's been through.
Yep.
Keisha has this whole air about her. You know what I mean? Like she has this whole, that's a survival toughness attitude type of thing going on. And probably in reality, she's probably the sweetest, nicest, loving person you ever want to meet. But all these years of dealing with this situation probably has, you know, instilled in her a certain, I got to give off a certain air.
To make yeah, that's her defense mechanism, totally.
Mm-hmm. I did get to see a part of The Housewives of Potomac. And I don't know, Denver, did you watch it?
I did.
What did you think? What do you think of the new girl?
I have mixed feelings. I think she's going to be great for the show. I think she's great for TV. I don't know if I'm sold on her just yet. I feel like, you know, and I think everybody goes through this, their first season, where they feel like they kind of have to put on a little bit more than what they would. So I think that she's kind of putting on just a little bit. And hopefully as the season goes on, we get to see her kind of mellow out. But, I mean, she's cool.
Mm-hmm. And do you think she's just another pretty face?
Dr.
Wendy accused her of?
You know, that's subjective. Mm-hmm. You know, I what am I trying to say here? I'm trying to be somewhat nice. I think okay. that it's really hard for me to watch somebody talk about somebody else's insecurities like Mia does Dr. Wendy when I can see that person's insecurities all over their face and in their face and in their lips and in their cheeks. And I can just see it, you know. So I'll just leave it there.
Mm-hmm. See, basically, the insecurities and all the work that she's had done.
100%.
Mm-hmm. And so I did see
that's very interesting.
Yeah, I did see online too that you were expressing how you're a little bit torn about Kanye potentially having a new album out. Could you talk about that?
Because I mean,
people know the context with you, because we had in the past, we had a really heated exchange about Kanye West and things of that nature when he had just first, I don't know if he had just or he just kept doing all of these controversial things. And, you know, it'd be interesting to know where you are now with that. And, you know, you did express on Twitter that you felt conflicted.
I am, and I think I'll always be conflicted because it's hard for me to, I guess, discount the impact that Kanye and his music has had in my life. I think that'll always hold like a really special place, but I really just cannot get with the person that Kanye has shown himself to be today. But I think as you were talking, you know, compassion and grace and all that, I think part of me is still holding out hope that he'll just, you know, come to the public and be like, hey, you know what, I fucked up and I caused a lot of harm and I've learned some things and I'm going to be a better person. I think that the compassionate part of me wants that from him so that I would feel better. But I don't think that's going to happen because it's Kanye. So, I mean, I'm always kind of interested to hear what he's going to do creatively. I don't know. Like if I would care at like a 10 before, I'm at like a 2.5 now, you know?
Oh, wow.
So that's just kind of where I am. And I think that it's important, especially today with people, you know, the whole quote cancel culture and all that. I mean, I think that with a lot of people, it's kind of a work in progress. I think people kind of go back and forth with what they support, what they don't, you know, who they cancel, who they don't. And, you know, I don't think it's always that cut and dry. It's people would like it, what people would like other people to believe.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, I can sit here and just, you know, I mean, I can think about people who have said all types of things, especially like in with, I don't know, like black folks in here, 50 Cent, for example, he said god awful things up and down through and through about everyone. Yet people still tune into Power and don't think twice about it. So I just think that everybody just has their line in where they draw it, you know.
I think when you're consistent in a valuable space, we tend to like separate the art from the artist. And you know what I mean?
People choose when they want to do that, you know?
Right, right. R. Kelly has survived a long time because of that same thing.
You know, he's out of here. You know what I mean? He's out of here.
Are we still in the name of love? No. You know what I mean? For a long time, we did, knowing that he was touching little people. You know what I mean? And then when we could not deny it anymore and was just shoved in our faces, all right, we can backpedal and get him the hell out of here. But, you know, they knew that what he was doing. And I really think that so many people valued his work that they would keep on paying him to produce stuff, knowing that they're going to go to his studio. They're going to see chains and whips in a bedroom and a 13-year-old back there or a 15-year-old. And they're going to turn a blind eye because what? Are they now like involved in it because they were there? So it's like, damn, do I choose the quality of my work over morals? A lot of that happened in the 90s. You know, let's keep it funky. So many people would go down if he blew the whistle and told what everybody really knew about him or what went down in the studio.
Absolutely.
So,
or the people that condoned what he was doing in the studio.
There you go. Did you guys hear what Matthew Knowles said about when they took Beyonce and them over there to go record with him? He said he was adamant about never leaving the girls alone. Either Tina had to be in there or him. And that was it. There Absolutely. Was no saying right. So shout out to Matthew.
And that's how it should have been with all of those other situations. But I think that, you know, a lot of people wanted their children to be famous. And I think that's also what happened to Aaliyah and him.
Exactly. That's another crazy story. I mean, that's for another day.
And it's cringe. That is so cringeworthy. I almost can't listen to an age ain't nothing but a number. Ugh. If you think about what that means, basically she was talking about R. Kelly here wrote a song for her about saying that even though she's underage, it ain't nothing but a number.
Really, sir?
Yeah, that's what it's about. He wrote the song. He did. and he was with her at the time. Is that correct, Denver? Denver is the resident mm-hmm. music historian.
Sure is. Just nasty.
Just nasty. But segueing from Kanye to another situation that was very, I'm very conflicted about is the whole Britney Spears situation.
Free Britney.
Leave Britney alone.
Iggy, shout out to Chris Crocker. Yay. I don't know. I know I'm so torn. I'm so torn about it because Britney definitely was on one when she was put in that conservatorship. People thought she was going to die. And people have short memories and they forget how on one she was. And then, I don't know, but now she's lashing out at her sister. She lashed out at her father. And her sister then posted something basically talking about peace. I don't know. Denver, I mean, do you know the ins and outs of this? I just don't know what to think because I don't know if Britney, but the thing is, so many people are obviously not okay and they're allowed to do whatever they want to do with their fortunes, i.e., you know, Kanye, i.e., mm-hmm. so many other people. Shit, we just saw Mel Gibson saluting Trump at mm-hmm. some type of, what was he, a UFC fight or something?
Something like that.
Somewhere he was saluting him, you know what I mean? So he, you know, he bad shit crazy too, but he has access to his life and his money and whatever he wants to do. So I'm just wondering, I mean, does Britney Spears have the right to do whatever she wants to do, even if she's not mentally sound?
I do. I think that she had, how do I put this? I think that we were definitely given a narrative when Britney was going through her stuff. You know, looking back on it, people say that she was just really heavy postpartum and mental health is such a conversation now. I don't know if what Britney was going through back then was truly much more extreme than what people go through now. Just it was heightened and we saw it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't mm-hmm. know if she lost her shit more than anybody else loses their shit or would lose their shit in that situation. Like, I really don't know. But what I do know is that I don't think 13 years later, she should be in such a restrictive situation where she can't ride in a car with her boyfriend or make medical decisions or anything like that. You know,
when I heard that they were controlling her having a baby, like she can't get pregnant right now. I'm like, what? That's ridiculous.
The thing is, she's still not well, though. Like if you look at her Instagram posts for like the past few months, she's batshit crazy. Like there's some shit that's loose in her. And I feel bad for her. I feel absolutely horrible because if you look at videos of her, you know, even 8 years, 10 years from now, years ago, she was a completely different person. She sounded way more, you know, sane. And now she's just kind of, I don't know, none of her posts make sense. And I just feel bad for her.
They sound like they're all on fast forward. Sound like she's not taking her medication. Sounds like she's flushing them.
It sounds like they said the 1X? It's like a little bit faster than normal. I don't know. It's just hurtful. It's just like, I need some wins, like in terms of these celebrities. Like I need somehow miraculously, like she can just, you know, come out the conservatorship and be okay. But yeah. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think she's going to come out of the conservatorship and do something crazy.
I hope not.
And we're going to be like, they're going to be like, see, we told y'all.
Yeah. Because I don't know. I mean, is everybody, so like the mother, the sister, the daddy, the everybody are like, it's all a conspiracy to take advantage of her, to keep her medicated in a conservatorship.
It does seem that way.
I mean, conservatorship abuse is real. I mean, we see it all the time. So, I mean, I'm not saying yes, but I'm not saying no. But I don't think that that's outside of the realm of possibility.
To be very honest, I can't imagine what living with that type of celebrity is like, that level of Michael Jackson, the level of her where you can't go anywhere and be unrecognizable or just live a normal life. What does that do to the psyche? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Long term. Is she going to be jacked up forever? I feel like it's a possibility. You start to not even live here. Britney Spears don't know what the fuck going on.
Yeah, she checked out a bit.
She's checked out.
But I wonder, you know, sometimes things can change when you take a different type of medication.
Yeah.
There may have been some advances in medication that could help stabilize her into a good place. It is hurtful to look at her in the videos and stuff, and you can kind of see in her eyes that she's not there.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hurtful part. And I don't know if the conservatorship has anything to do with that. Like, she's just not, it's not a suppressed person. It's just kind of like, you know, she's not there. You know, like, I don't know who's there. And that's just that's a hard place to be in. And I also would say that in the last year or so, it has made me a lot more cautious when I talk about mental health and things, because just this last year or so has put a lot of pressure on my mind.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's hard for me to be so critiquey of these type of situations when just like only by God's grace. Like, I mean, shit, you know, what if my mind had buckled or had a, whatever you call it, you know, a breakdown or just whatever. Cause it was, I mean, like, I think all of us, right? This last year or so has been like very hard on our mental health.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You had an episode where you spoke very candidly about, you know, your demons coming out and you having to play with them and mm-hmm. they not going back in. And that shit was real. Yeah. It like painted such a vivid picture of what we were all dealing with and what we couldn't hide anymore on a daily basis.
And they haven't gone back in. That's the problem.
Hey, y'all.
They here right now. Be like, when you done this podcast?
Are you more comfortable with, you know, seeing them and dealing with them every
day? Because, I mean, it's just, you know, I was playing pretend before.
Mm.
And I think that once you become more realistic with yourself, I think acknowledging it, seeing it, BetterHelp, you know, people thought that I was just talking about BetterHelp because it was an advertisement on the podcast. No, BetterHelp like really did help me a lot. Quite a bit. And it sucked because then right when I got so bonded to my counselor or whatever, she got pregnant with twins.
Oh.
And so because of her age, she had to stop seeing any of her clients. So it's just like, just my luck, you know, but it definitely helped me. It was a very, very difficult time. And I just don't, it's only the grace of God, because if sometimes, you know, mental health has many different factors, but one of the situations that can trigger episode or trigger a situation or something, an event in your mind and in your body, is being under a tremendous amount of stress and anxiety. And something can happen and it just, you're never the same, I believe. And in certain situations, I believe that this celebrity, this pressure, this life, that's why you see a lot of celebrities, you know, numerous like different things like, you know, happen to celebrities that are not positive, you know, like suicides, you know, overdoses, you know, just deep insecurities, anxieties, you know, like, you know, Naomi, like pulling out or whatever, like she has anxiety. She has a issue. Like, and then imagine having to go to press conference after press conference and talk about and be forced to talk when you don't want to talk.
Listen, I know that feeling all too well. Mm-hmm. And every fucking time I would let them know y'all got the right one, because unlike Naomi, I will tell those fucking reporters about themselves. Y'all can't do half the shit I'm doing. Get the fuck out of my face. You know?
And that's, you know, I will say, for example, on a smaller level, is kind of like when I first started, like, I think that I started in the business and didn't understand what being in the business would do to me and my mm-hmm. my mentality about things and how, you know, people see me and they hear me and they watch my videos and things like that. And they think I'm a lot more social than I actually am.
But the gag is.
The gag is, I'm not. The gag is. It was funny. The other day I was at Soul House and like this guy came up to me. He was like, "Hey, where are your friends?" He was like, "I don't ever see you here with anybody." You know what I mean? That's just, I mean, I don't know. And I think that for a lot of people who, celebrities in particular, if you put people who are just not really outside of the circumstances becoming a celebrity, and they're not that person in any other way outside of how people view them, that's when the problems really start to happen. And I feel like, you know, I just think that it's sad to see, but I definitely can relate a lot more to all of it, just because I can see how all of it just becomes a thing. And at a certain point, if you are not listening to your mind and your body and your spirit, when you're unhappy, when you are under pressure, when you have anxiety, when you have, you know what I mean? Like these things, that's kind of like, that's symptoms, you know, basically it's like, you know, like, it's like your body is telling you like, I need, something is off. Something is not where it needs to be. And then also it's just illness. You know, so some people have, you know, mental illness, and it's just an illness. It's like an illness of the mind. Mm-hmm. And that's hard for people to understand, like, you know, and no one deserves an illness. Like, it just happens. We're human. And I think that's a part of what COVID has taught us about a lot of things, is that we are human. We are animals, and we get bacterial, viral infections, and we also have illnesses. And those illnesses can be hereditary. They can be, you know, when it comes to the mind, it can be triggered by certain stressors. It could be an event that, you know, causes something. You know, any of it can cause you to not be in a good place. So, like, I'm just heartbroken when I see that. You know, Kanye and Britney are similar in a way, because it's like, ooh, you know. We get to know these people. We have such, we're so connected to them. And it's heartbreaking to see people not really be there. I don't think Kanye is really there. I think you've kind of seen it for a while. But he's not there the same way.
He kind of, people like that, just like Wendy Williams, they're on autopilot to a certain extent. You know what I mean? They've been doing the thing that they're really great at, that we value so much for so long. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, you know, people that are like mega rock stars, like Rick James, they are super functional crackheads. Mm-hmm. And they get to just go outside, dress up in some nice clothes. And we're like, well, they look all right. They, you know, they're doing the thing. She got the mic in front of her face. She cracking jokes. Oh, she's fine. This woman is breaking down right in front of us. And nobody is saying anything or doing anything, because she's delivering what we expect and what we're used to. So,
and the crazy thing is too, is like, we, you know, it's funny. It's like, we act like we haven't seen this before, or these type of issues before, but it's in all of our families. It has happened in, like, many of our friendships and things, where we've known situations where people have dealt with something concerning mental health. It only becomes, I don't know, like, we only get surprised by it, or, you know, foreign to us when it's celebrities.
Right.
It's like, it's the weirdest thing. It's like, I mean, because I definitely have some Britney situations in my family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, close to, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, ooh. So yeah, I don't know. It's just a testament. Like, that's why I'm so not, like, here for another round of COVID. Like, I just can't. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. If we shut down again, Love Muffins, I will say this. If we shut down again, and we would not be doing the podcast episodes, I'm not going to go on that deep, dark journey.
We're not going to speak that into existence. Knock on some wood, y'all.
But, you know, the crazy thing, I'm telling you, like, the crazy thing about what we've been seeing day after day is that if it's not COVID, it's going to be like a water shortage or some type of food shortage. Like, you know, I went to the damn, you know, I love seafood. And the other day I went to go get a crab cake, and, you know, I couldn't get no crab cake. You know why?
What?
There's a crab cake shortage. It's a crab cake.
It's like wings. Yep. Wing shop shortage. Is now pop shop.
Ain't no crab, bitch. Ain't no crab. I was like, so ready. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna love crab cake. I'm a little side salad. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, I know you're gonna be sad. There's no crab. And this is not like the, you know, the crab legs and stuff. It's the crab, the whatever, I think is like the lump crab is what they didn't have. And so I don't that particular crab, I would think, is the issue, because they did have crab legs. But I'm just saying that it's just, I feel like as we continue on this path of the earth not being happy, we got to prepare ourselves for how this could play out, just because it's going to be one thing or another. And I'm just sitting here waiting too, because we in California. I'm like, when
don't say it, 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 don't say it. I can't take it. Don't say it.
Is the fires already started?
They had one in Malibu today.
Shit.
Lord have mercy. Y'all remember that movie 2012? They trying to tell us something.
It's fact.
Was it 20? Yeah, it's real.
But on that note,
on that note.
Do we have any favorite nails that everyone talk about?
You know what? The craziest one, I don't even know if I want to talk about because it was so just wild. But there was a guy in Colorado who was found guilty of murdering his son after his son, and I guess his other son, but his son found pictures of the dad wearing a bra and eating feces from a diaper. And, you know, there's just so many layers to that situation. But the pictures, my God. We didn't post them, but we put a link up to them. And I just, I had never seen anything like that a day in my life.
Sounds real bath salty to me.
Right? Remember when bath salt was such a thing?
Yeah. People
don't
eating,
say
people
it. Just our luck, it'll come right back.
Oh, God.
And that'll be COVID-20.
And the crazy thing is that, like, I'm sitting here talking about earlier in the show, talking about going back to Miami. And then I just saw a thing saying that 1 out of 5 COVID cases are coming from Florida. Mm. Damn, Florida?
Y'all heard about this monkey pandemic?
Oh, the monkey pox? Yeah.
Like, we got to keep up, like, one at a time.
But yeah, it's a pandemic that's affecting monkeys?
Yeah, I don't know if humans are out here fucking monkeys, but yeah. And it came out of Atlanta, Denver. Come on now. Get your people.
Hang on. Shit to do with me. I'm here in California.
What's it called? It's called
the monkey pox. The monkey pox.
Go ahead and Google monkey
pox. Is monkey pox or monkey pox?
Monkey pox. Google it.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. You know what? On that note, we're going to have to bring the show to close. This is like, this show has become like the fucking apocalypse. Like, we're this episode.
No, we do have some fan mail.
We have what?
We do have some fan mail.
Oh, okay. Some fan mail. What happened?
Hachu says, you guys are going way too hard on Monique for encouraging people to eat better and to take into account the foolish of a bonnet in public. Bonnets are made for the house. It's very unhygienic to wear them outside and lay on your pillow. Jeez, let's get real. We need to have Monique on the show.
We do need to have Monique on the show.
Is that coming from a black person, a person of color?
We
can you see a picture?
I mean, the name Hachu is enough.
Okay. Well, I'll reserve my comment.
Yeah, I mean, I stand by what I said. Yeah. I think that we police black women too often.
Thank you.
Black women have a right to express themselves just like everyone else does. And I also think that it stems from, like I said before, is we feel like we have to present ourselves in a certain way in public in order for people to respect us or not to treat us in a certain way. And I want people to know that it doesn't matter how you present yourself, that people who want to disrespect you, people who do not view you as an equal, will treat you as such, no matter how and what you choose to do, let alone wearing a bonnet. And also, if I am going on an airplane or doing anything, I don't have a bonnet, but my hair is going to be wrapped up. Anybody who's seen me in the airport ever, has ever, any lover has ever seen me, knows that I have something on. I have a headband on. I oftentimes wear some type of hat, a toe bocking, a hoodie. Typically what I do oftentimes is I have a hoodie on. And then when I get in the airplane, I put the hoodie on, I put my little things over my face and I'm asleep. And I just don't, because I don't want my hair and my neck and everything to be touching all over. I want coverage. Mm-hmm. And especially now, I'm probably going to be super covered up, you know? And so I just don't see why, like, I have all the people and things. And I have seen my problem with airports and airplanes is the feet. And I put on my Instagram from TikTok was a guy who, you know, somebody was putting his foot on their chair and he threw water on it. Mm-hmm. So the foot that was there, he literally took some water that he was drinking and threw it on, and then the person moved their foot. I think people need to keep their feet to themselves.
Absolutely.
So I don't care about your bonnet. If you want to keep your hair to yourself and cover your hair up and make sure your hair is in one place, or when you get off the flight, you want to make sure, a lot of people are like making sure when they get off the flight, their hair is where it needs to be. Mind your business.
That's what I'm saying. And Hachu, who has one bonnet anyway? Everybody knows a bad bitch has a travel bonnet and a sleeping bonnet.
Absolutely.
So the same bonnet's not going from travel to the pillow.
Yes.
And so, pillowcases.
Hello.
But thank you, Hachu, for writing in and expressing yourself. This is a safe space for people to.
We
appreciate it. We ain't studying it, but we appreciate it.
And get you a second bonnet.
Right. But thank you for listening. We got some fan mail. I know that's right. And we have been, this show has been going today. We did an hour and 30 some minutes.
Work.
But yeah, Love Muffins, this is a place for us to come and talk and chat and talk about things. And hopefully this is a relief to any mental health issues you may be having as well, because it is for me, to come here and to vent and to talk and to fellowship. And that's what it's all about. And I appreciate you. Please continue to share the links with your friends and subscribe and tell others to subscribe and go and leave reviews on, Apple or wherever else you can leave a review, regardless of whether it's good or bad. Much like the comments and things when I first started out on YouTube, it's always an array of things. People have, as they say, opinions are like assholes. Everyone has one. And so I've learned that regardless of whether it's positive, negative, or somewhere in between, you're listening. I invoke the reaction and you know the name. So until next time, double kisses. Mwah, mwah. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening to The B. Scott Show. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Love B. Scott. And make sure you review the show on iTunes. And you can always find me on lovebscott.com.